Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, so no Caserio for the Texans, according to NFL Hall of Famer John McClain. What about the free agents?
Nope, that's not what I said. I said he could be coming after his contract expires, but he's not coming to be the GM.
Okay, I can deal with that. So he could eventually be the GM, though, if B.O.B. struggles. His shelf life could be longer.
Sure, he could. If Bill got fired, he could be general manager, okay. Or Cal McNair could just blow them all out.
There we go.
I think that's the more likely
right
scenario.
There,
I'll be dead before that happens.
No,
you'll
won't.
Be retired. You'll be on
you're
the Cape,
you're living to be 130, sir.
You'll be fishing on the Cape. And living the life. I think if Bill O'Brien fails, and we had this discussion last week, so I'll just recap it very shortly. You said he won't be fired. He won't be fired next year. It'll probably be 2 years minimum.
Two bad years in a row.
If that's the case and that happens, I don't think they want Caserio. I don't think they want that Patriots way anymore. I think he'll be stained. You know what I mean?
One of the things I liked about O'Brien when he came here is he didn't try to do like the other former Patriot coaches and do everything the way Bill Belichick did. And one reason they failed is because they're not Belichick. And, I mean, they tried to do everything behind the scenes. They had the Patriot paranoia. And O'Brien said he learned from Belichick, George O'Leary, Ralph Friedgen. And I like that because it wasn't all the way. Now, Easterby's doing the Patriot way. It's Patriot paranoia over there. Because Easterby was there the last 6 years, and even though he was with the Chiefs in South Carolina, where he met the McNairs when he was at South Carolina, and so it's changing. And Caserio, it just depends on how bad he wants out of there. You know, is he's worried? You know, is Brady leaving? Brady was seen at the UFC fight with Mark Davis. With Brady being from the West Coast, wouldn't Mark Davis love to have him for a year or two in Vegas?
But even though could you imagine?
They don't need Brady, they're selling out everything. And then I still think that Brady will end up back in New England because what are the Patriots going to do? Go with Jared Stidham? And I don't know. I'm wondering if Stidham has impressed Belichick the way Brady did in 2000 and others didn't see it. And then when he got his opportunity, Brady, of course, was great. Mm-hmm. Does he think Jared Stidham is capable of stepping up in place of Tom Brady? I would hate to fill the Brady shoes or the Belichick shoes because they could be on hard times like they used to be before they got there.
The Texans, and specifically Jack Easterby, excuse me, like I was 12 years old.
Puberty's
again.
Being hit.
like I was 12
job,
years old.
Bro.
Got neutered there for a second.
I think God. I see a pubic hair.
Where'd that come from? Specifically, Jack Easterby and Cal McNair. They have to hear the noise. They have to hear people like Brian T. Smith and myself and Landry and fans saying, why won't they say something? Why don't they comment on this? Why is the only voice that we hear from the Texans, the guy who's at the center of the biggest, you know, uproar, and that's Bill O'Brien. They have to hear this.
Of course they hear it, but that's the way they operate. Easterby talked sometime when he was in New England when they were at the Super Bowl and everybody had to talk, and he was a really good interview. I read every one of those stories when they hired him, try to get a idea of what he was all about. And then Cal, the only time he's done an interview with the media is when I did a long story with him at the league meeting in March. So I'm hoping he'll do another long one in March. We're going to have to go back to when he fired Brian Gaine. That's going to be so old, it's got moss on it.
So are they just, they don't care?
Well, obviously they don't, or that wouldn't be the way they operated.
What I wanted to ask you this, because there's a lot of people on the text line just saying that, you know, I know that you've been critical of Bill O'Brien. But they're talking about the moves he's made. If you had to just list the bad moves that Bill O'Brien has made, what would you say his worst moves
The Clowney trade, the Hyde move, Duke Johnson, they were good. Kenny Stills, Laramie Tunsil. What else has he done? Gary and Conley, acclaiming Hargraves. Both those guys made some plays to help him. But the Clowney trade, their run defense went down the tubes. That's what Clowney was best at. They could have had Clowney one more year. Mm-hmm. And he with Clowney and Watt for half a year, I got to think Clowney would have helped on the run defense, and he would have been the best pass rusher or second best pass rusher at worst.
Yeah, is DJ Reader gone? I know eventually you got to let good players leave every organization.
No, he's not gone. There's no way they'd franchise him before they let him go. This year you can use two tags, franchise and transition, so you can keep two guys if you want.
So DJ Reader will be a Texan in 2020?
Yes, he will.
Okay, there we go.
I said yesterday that I think these are the two biggest signings, arguably, in Texans history. Deshaun Watson and Laremy Tunsil, because Laremy Tunsil has you over barrel, and Deshaun Watson's the franchise quarterback you've always wanted. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. Let me think. In history,
You could talk about Andre, but Andre wasn't going anywhere.
I'm trying to think. You know, getting Watt extended at the time, it was a great deal.
That was a no-brainer, too.
That was one that everybody got universal praise for. I'm curious to see if Watson and Mahomes, how do they do this? Do they try to get the other one to go first? Obviously, Mahomes is going to get the most. But say Watson were to sign for $35 million a year and then Mahomes gets 40. Watson mm-hmm. go, man, I should have waited. I could have gotten 37. And then Mahomes, if he goes, say, into training camp or next season. So that's what I can't wait to see is how their agents handle it. And it's obvious they're not a package deal, but these two, because of where they were picked and when they were picked and going to the playoffs and being so good, I'm just eager to see which one signs first. Tunsil, they should have signed him before they made the deal with his agent, Jimmy Sexton.
He has him over a barrel.
Bill O'Brien has said several times, we're going to get him done. Whew. And Tunsil knows it, and Jimmy Sexton knows it. So Laremy Tunsil, I feel confident saying, will be the highest paid offensive lineman in NFL history.
Man, yikes. And that's where it gets a little bit different when we talk about a good trade.
There will be a
trade.
Clause in there that takes about $100,000 every time he gets a false start.
Yeah, right. He ain't signing that with all that leverage.
That's
John.
Against
you know
the rules.
You know better than that. You know damn well he ain't signing that. NFL Hall of Famer John McClain with us. What about offensively? We've seen all these changes on the defense. What about offensively? Are we going to see any changes on the offensive staff?
I'd like to see that. I'm sure there will be. I don't know what they will be. I'd like to see Tim Kelly given a chance to call the plays. I'd be surprised if Bill O'Brien gave it up, but why name Tim the offensive coordinator if you don't have plans to give him a chance to call the plays? This offense, with the players they had, even with Will Fuller getting hurt so much. And by the way, DeAndre Hopkins playing his second half with a broken rib. Yeah. I've had bruised ribs. And then seeing Fuller miss so many games for so many reasons, and Hopkins only missed one in 7 years because of an injury, makes me admire him even more and see how valuable he is to this offense. I know they want to bring back Carlos Hyde. They've got Duke Johnson. It wouldn't surprise me if they don't try to find another right guard for Zach Fulton, who has 2 years left on his contract. I think somewhere in the draft, and starting with their second-round pick, I think they need pass rushers. But somewhere in there, this year was a great draft for receivers, especially guys not taken in the first round. Try to find a receiver and groom him behind Will Fuller and see if Fuller can stay healthy. And if Fuller can't stay healthy, let him walk in 2021 and elevate this pick.
So
free agent.
Going back to, because we had our disagreement about the Laremy Tunsil trade, if you need a receiver so bad and you basically threw in a second rounder for Kenny Stills, doesn't that kind of question, you know, even further just how much you gave up in the Miami trade? Because to me, if you give up a second round pick for a receiver, when Will Fuller's out, there shouldn't be that much of a drop off. So if we're talking about receiver being a need, I think it just kind of adds to my notion that maybe that price with the Dolphins was a little bit rich.
What they wanted to do last year, I thought getting Tunsil and Stills was great, and getting Stills thrown into that deal and throwing in an extra pick, because knowing Fuller's injury history and there was a good chance he'd be hurt, that was a really good deal. He's fast. For what they asked him to do, I thought he played very well, and I still think they need somebody. Give him a year to develop, and if Fuller can't stay healthy, let him walk. And then it'll probably do like Kevin Johnson, stay healthy the whole season.
NFL Hall of Famer John McClain with us, the OG John Lopez, Landry Locker with you. We'll have world-famous McClain leg hiking in 5 minutes. What was your reaction to what went down on Championship Sunday?
I was happy for Andy Reid. I wanted Mike Vrabel and the Titans to get in, but if it couldn't be them, everybody loves Andy Reid. He's been to one Super Bowl, lost by three of the Patriots when he was with the Eagles. Everybody loves Patrick Mahomes. Everybody loves watching those guys play. 49ers play old-fashioned football. They play great defense, tremendous front seven. They run the ball with different backs. Jimmy Garoppolo's not asked to throw a lot. They got seven former Texans coaches on their staff, including Kyle Shanahan. I'm really happy for those guys. I know them. I've known Kyle since 2006, and so I would love to see him win. But if he doesn't, who doesn't like Andy Reid? Who wouldn't be happy, other than 49er fans, that Andy Reid finally wins the Super Bowl?
NFL Hall of Famer John McClain with us. Let's get world famous. John McClain leg hiking, and we need to talk about the Houston Sports Awards. John McClain's going to be there. He's going to be introduced another Hall of Famer to the stage. We'll tell you who that is next. All right, world famous McClain leg hiking. John, we're going to have a showdown. Let's have a showdown between post-game rants. I want to go back to Bart Scott's rants with the Jets, and then Frank Clark's with the Chiefs. We're going to play both of them, and then I want the general to decide who ranted better. First, Bart Scott after the Jets upset the Patriots in the divisional round.
To all the non-believers.
How did that?
To all the non-believers. Especially you, Tom Jackson. Way to have our back, Keyshawn. Anybody can be beat.
So how did that just feel?
Felt great. Poetic justice. We know we were a much better team than we came up and represented ourselves. And we were pissed off. We was ready to come back and show what type of defense, what type of team this was, what kind of character we had. We take a lot of slack. People gave us no chance, like we barely made it in playoffs. We're a good football team.
It looks like this team played with anger all day. Why, Bart?
For all you non-believers, disrespect us, talk crap about the defense like we ain't the third best defense in the league. All we hear is about their defense. They can't stop a nosebleed. 25th in the league, and we the one to get disrespected.
Congratulations. See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait.
All right. Back to you guys.
Back to you.
That was Bart Scott. That's contestant number one. Contestant number two, Frank Clark of the Kansas City Chiefs, after the Chiefs advanced to the Super Bowl with a win over the Tennessee Titans.
Past two games, each game, 70 yards, over 200 yards each game. I know damn well we wanted to win the game. We let that happen. They come in here, he ran for 70 yards. They call him the best rusher in the league. We're sitting in this home early.
I posted the comments that you said to me, and all over social media, everybody said you better watch your back, that you're saying things that you can't cash. Everybody on social media said,
they must not know who I am yet. They're going to find out sooner or later when I got that ring on my finger. At the end of the day, we champions. AFC, that trophy that got my own and last name on it, that's the KC. KC, ain't no fall off. Last year, jump off sides, all that. I told him when I got here, this is gonna change. Look at we're the best in the world.
Go enjoy it.
All right, who ran it best, John?
Well, first of all, Frank Clark is scum. And that after the way he beat up that woman in front of witnesses, got him kicked off the team in college. And so I would never vote for him on anything. The best I've ever seen is Richard Sherman to Aaron Andrews on Fox.
Yeah.
So I'd go with Bart Scott. The thing is, everybody in the country picked against them because they should have.
Right.
And he better be glad they did. Otherwise, he'd have had no motivation at all to win that game.
I guess.
It's funny. He works for ESPN now, and he's bitching about ESPN in that rant.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Art Scott. Sellout. You heard it here first. NFL Hall of Famer John McClain. All right. Chris Olsen did not deserve to be fired.
I agree. 100%. Don't hike it.
Don't hike it. Chris Olsen will have a job in the NFL next season.
I agree.
Really?
Not sure how many are open, but I agree he'll get hired somewhere because he's too good not to.
Nick Caserio will be a member of the Texans front office by May, or in May, after May.
After the draft, I'm going to say yes.
Yes!
Oh, wow.
Yes! Nick Caserio will want to work with his good buddies, Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby, the GM and assistant GM.
How those nuts taste?
Maybe he'll be the assistant's assistant.
Assistant to, he's like Dwight Schrute.
Football
on the
VP of football operations,
assistant
something like
to
that.
The regional manager.
F you, John Lopez.
Of non-quarterbacks, Tyrann Mathieu will win the Super Bowl MVP. If you had to say non-quarterbacks.
If I had to say non-quarterbacks, to do that, he would have to intercept a couple of passes, make big plays like Larry Brown. The odds are against him. Hike it.
Oh, hike it. He's having a good year, though.
He's had a great year.
Yeah.
Jeff Bannister needs to be the next manager of the Houston Astros.
Oh, why not? You like him, bring him on. He's a where did he go to high school?
Lamarck.
Yeah. Lamarck, he's from Lamarck. Bring on Jeff Bannister.
There will be at least two more firings in the Texans building by the time you come visit us next week.
Absolutely, there will be more firings.
Wow, two more.
The in-the-loop visit is John McClain's favorite visit of the week.
Absolutely my favorite visit of the week.
Until they ask on the other shows. Until they ask on the other shows. Dave Aranda will win 10 games next season for Baylor.
No, hike it. I don't think he'll win 10 games at Baylor. Everybody will be gunning for the Bears.
This is true. When did Baylor become the class of the Big 12?
Football,
basketball.
You know why? Because of the scandal and everything.
The Aggies are gone?
No. Because that's what God wanted.
Because that's what God wanted.
NFL Hall of Famer John McClain in the building. Tim Kelly's calling plays next year for the Houston Texans.
No, hike it. He will not be. I wish he were.
Deshaun Watson will sign a $38 million a year contract.
I agree. Don't hike it because baby. I think Patrick Mahomes will be the first $40 million a year quarterback.
We're going to be at the Houston Sports Awards today on the red carpet. Two guys that will be there, Slim Thug and Paul Wall. Slim Thug's verse in Still Tipping is better than Paul Wall's.
Boy, I like Slim, but man, Paul Wall, I watched him hit one time at Astros batting practice, and I thought it was the first time he ever picked up a bat. But that was a media event. Home run derby, so I like Paul Wall.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a leg hike right there, Figgy.
Hike it.
Laremy Tunsil will sign a 5-year, $85 million contract.
Jeez.
5 years. How much is that a year?
It'd be about 16, 17.
I agree. Laremy Tunsil, you're right. Don't hike it.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, you guys are
we're
hot
easy
today.
We're on fire.
Today.
We're on fire. It's mm-hmm. nice, man. We've recovered
I
from
hated
the,
to hike it on Baylor.
From the beatdown. Jeff Luhnow will get another job in baseball.
Yes, he will. Absolutely. Don't hike it.
The Houston Astros will be in the World Series, like Jose Altuve said, in 2020.
Well, the odds are against them. Hike it. They're not going to the World Series. Pitching's not good enough.
The Astros will be the, how would I put this? The
division
villains,
winner?
The villains in Major League Baseball for the next 5 years.
No, I don't think 5 years, because other things are going to come out about other teams cheating, so they will be this year. I watched Buster Olney this morning on ESPN saying pitchers are going to throw at them, and I'm thinking, how stupid is that? Because they're going to be warned, so if you throw at them, you're out of the game, and they got a guy on first base.
The Astros,
plus, a lot of other teams are cheating, too.
The Astros will win no more than 85 games.
Ooh, I disagree. I think they're a legitimate World Series contender,
yes,
and they'll still get up close to 100.
Sir. He's still got that spirit.
The Rockets will end up the number 6 seed in the Western Conference.
Man, this losing streak's got to turn around. So
they're the number 6 seed right now.
Hike it. They'll be higher than the 6th seed.
Oh, my gosh. The Texans on draft day, this is a long ways away. We got to think about this. There will be at least one draft day trade for the Houston Texans.
Absolutely, and if it's not on draft day, it'll be right before, so don't hike it.
All right, let's talk about tonight. You got a big night. We got a big night. We're going to be out at the Houston Sports Awards.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
What are you going to be doing?
I am introducing Bob McNair is receiving the Lifetime Achievement Award, and I will introduce the video on Bob. And then I will introduce the person who is making the presentation to Janice and Cal Hannah McNair, and that would be Jerry Jones.
The man.
Jerry's coming down for it, which I thought was a very classy thing for him. But Jerry and Bob were good buddies, and Jerry played a key role behind the scenes in helping Bob get his franchise.
Landry and Figgy and I are going to be doing interviews on the red carpet, which I think is a blue carpet in this case. Have you ever, you've been in a movie, you ever walked the red carpet for a premiere?
I have The Longest Yard, and like people are like, who is that? I'll tell you a great story. Adam Schefter and his girlfriend and Carol and I went in a limo together. And
really?
We pull up, and right as Adam is getting out,
I thought you, were
you hear people screaming, Adam, Adam, and his face turns red. He gets a big smile, Adam, Adam, and he turns around. There's Adam Sandler.
They were yelling at Adam Sandler.
Is he the best Saturday Night Live guy ever?
Adam Sandler.
Is he top 10?
Yeah, I kind of like Eddie Murphy is my favorite.
Eddie Murphy.
Bill Murray.
Hey, did you see that? I don't know why I'm going from Eddie Murphy to this. You can just hit me with the RC figgy. Did you see that Denzel Washington, Michael B. Jordan movie yet?
No.
I've heard it's great.
Well, I love both of them. I've seen every Denzel movie, and I think Michael B. Jordan is the closest to Denzel Washington we have among the younger actors.
Yeah, kids won't even know who Michael Jordan, the basketball player, is. The first thing they'll think about is the actor.
Were you asked any questions on the red carpet?
No, I don't. Back then, no. Like, get out of the way. Will you get out of the way? Will you hurry up?
Figgy and I and Landry are going to ask questions, and so we're trying to think of, like, unique things. I'm going to ask you one that came to mind for me. Oh,
no. Well, first of all, I ain't walking a red carpet. I always go the
other
way.
Come on now.
But
I
tell you, you can ask
why are you doing Cal this like
I'll give you some questions.
How are
ask
you not
going to
walk the red carpet?
Ask Cal McNair and Jack Easterby and Bill O'Brien. I'm sure they'll be walking around.
Wait, Easterby's going to be there?
I would imagine.
I have the list
He's
right here.
He's assistant general manager.
He's not on the list.
He's not?
I'm going to
I would imagine that he'll be at the McNair's table.
I'm
going
to ask Cal McNair if he wants to join us on the show next week.
Can you give us a script? I want you to.
I'm having enough trouble remembering my lines.
All right. I'm gonna go through here, and you tell me what non-sports question I should ask each of these people. JJ Watt.
Ask JJ, how many times are you gonna go to Chicago to watch Kalia play?
Well, apparently he's into that Netflix show Cheer.
Made me watch that yesterday. That show's awful.
I want to ask him about Cheer. We'll do that.
Did you watch the Hernandez doc, John?
No.
Are you going to?
Yeah.
You're going to like it. You know he wrote a letter to Nick Caserio?
Good.
So Cheer, we'll ask JJ about Cheer.
Asking for a job with the Texans?
Mm-hmm.
He was saying that he would submit to, like, weekly drug tests because they had such concerns about him. So it's basically like Aaron Hernandez saying, I will pee in a cup every week, and I will also submit to all this other type of stuff.
I do think this, if Caserio was going to re-sign with them, why wouldn't he have already done it?
That's a good thought.
He's letting his contract run out for a reason. He wants out.
You know why? I got the answer to that, because he's going to be B.O.B.'s boss. That's why.
I'm going to ask John Weeks, who are you?
Ask John Weeks.
Bro, he gave us a grill.
He's our guy.
How do you feel about being the best in NFL history at what you do? Sick him.
What about Brandon Scarlett? I don't know much about Brandon Scarlett.
What's a better school, Cal or Stanford?
Oh, there you go.
They're going to have the Rock Boys up there. What do you think of the Rock Boys?
Who are the Rock Boys?
The linebackers.
The linebackers.
Oh, those guys.
Yeah. They're going to go up there
and do
the rock stuff.
I'm guessing they're going to be, wonder what they'll be, who decides their costumes? Who does their makeups? Ask them, like they do on a red carpet.
That's a good question.
On E, Carol watches for the Globes.
Who are you wearing? Mm-hmm. NFL Hall of Famer John McClain. Are we going to see your pretty face on Facebook today?
I'll be on Facebook Live at noon over at the Chronicle. One time we were at the training camp of the Oilers, and Mark Berman will hate this. There were some players walking behind us going up the stairs, and one of them, this is what you should ask those guys, one of them asked Mark Berman, what color are your panties?
Oh, my gosh.
So ask him that.
Hey, final leg hiking before we get you out of here so you can see him on Facebook. Mark Berman is a pot licker.
A what?
The other day that
Lopez
said
Mark Berman's a pot licker. I was offended.
So in other words, no. And
licking
I think,
a pot?
No,
yeah,
no, no,
how
no.
offensive is that, John?
Let me explain. There's a term in fishing, a pot licker. Like a guy's catching a lot of fish. Some guy sees that and comes up in his boat and tries to fish where you're fishing. All right. I said Mark Berman is a pot licker, and I would say it to his face, and I don't think it's an insult. If I'm doing an interview with someone and it looks like it's pretty, pretty good interview, he'll come in and start listening and get the cameraman to try to get his own.
Berman?
Yeah.
Now it's the opposite way. Wherever he goes, everybody else comes to hear what he's doing.
No, don't protect your boy.
He is not.
Mark
Berman is the best reporter
I
have ever seen.
I didn't say he wasn't.
No, he will not, in a private setting, will not butt in with anybody.
He's done it to me a million times.
Since when?
Since forever. If I'm interviewing somebody or somebody's interviewing, he'll like, oh, hey, go see what they're saying.
Next time you're interviewing somebody, let me know. I'm going to see you Saturday night at the Pearl Museum fundraiser with Dale Robertson.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a blast, and it's a lot of fun, a lot of great people for a great
cause. A lot of stories.
Thank you guys very much, as always. See you tonight.
All right, NFL Hall of Famer John McClain. We're going to see him tonight at the Houston Sports Awards. Also going to need your help. Taking you to the Houston Sports Awards. We're going to need you to help us with our homework. A podium critic grade for the Texans' new defensive coordinator. The Astros will interview the guy that should get the job. Plus, I'll be damned. CP3 might not be washed up. The hits are next. All right, Texans have made a lot of firings. They fired Chris Olsen, the cap guy. They fired Romeo Crennel, the defensive coordinator. They fired John Pagano, the outside linebackers coach. We just talked to NFL Hall of Famer John McClain. He said Bill O'Brien wants more power. He's always wanted it, and that is why he's making these moves. This was Bill O'Brien a while ago. This is about 200 days ago, talking about why power doesn't matter to him.
I don't look at it that way as far as the word power. That's not anything that I even think about. It's really just, you know, trying to do my job as the head coach. My number one job is to coach.
All right, number one job is to coach, but you have 16,000 other jobs, so it's hard to take that at face value, especially when everybody else seems to think along the contrary. I am the podium critic. I put way too much stock in what's said at the podium. I think it's part of the entertainment value that comes with sports, whether it's a preseason press conference, whether it's a post-game press conference, which I find the best, a weekly press conference. I love what goes on at the podium, and I find myself grading how people perform at the podium. So in the spirit of that, with Anthony Weaver being named the replacement for Romeo Crennel, I decided that I was just going to go back in time in the archive and just take a quote from Anthony Weaver to maybe forecast what kind of podium performer we're getting with the Houston Texans, because he's going to spend a lot more time there as the defensive coordinator. You didn't hear from him very much as a D-line coach. You're now going to hear from him quite often, every single week, to be exact. This is the future defensive coordinator for your Houston Texans evaluating the defensive line a couple years ago.
This is probably the deepest group that I've coached in my 7 years back in the National Football League. And that's a credit to our scouting staff. You know, Brian Gain, all those guys who bring those guys in, they brought in some really good football players. Now, the unfortunate part of that about that is it's a very competitive group, and the likelihood is that a good football player is going to get let go. But they'll all get better as a result.
They might have a top 10 defense next year.
Just based on that?
That's a B-plus right there. That's what the hell's up right there.
I think he's going to be
pretty good, Figgy.
I think he's going to be pretty candid. I really do. And in part because, I mean, he's played for and I believe coached with the most candid defensive coordinator,
Rex Ryan,
in the NFL. And those things rub off on you. You know, John McClain was just talking about how buttoned up, you know, and basically, you know, monkish Jack Easterby has become, and nobody can get a hold of him or get him to
can
talk.
Can you define monkish? Can you use it in a sentence, please?
He's, Jack, I just did. Jack Easterby has become practically monkish. In other words, like a monk, a vow of silence, all that stuff. Hard to see, hard to hear. Because he grew up and was in
mysterious.
That. And he was, well, secluded, you know. He was in that environment with the New England Patriots. Well, as much as, you know, there's a little bit of that now going on with the Texans. Anthony Weaver has been around Rex Ryan, who's not afraid to say anything, anytime.
Something doesn't seem to be adding up with all these evaluations. I think we're doing a lot of guessing on the Texans. I think we're doing a lot of guessing.
What's Jack not adding up?
Jack Easterby does not come across as a guy who is monkish. He tweets wisdom every day. He's made a living
with
public speaking. Well, he's tweeting more than anybody else in that building, including players. And he's made a living out of speaking and being charismatic and saving people and all that type of stuff. Jack Easterby, to me, seems like somebody that doesn't want to hide under the radar. He seems like somebody that would probably embrace being able to talk. Am I off on my evaluation?
I think he probably does embrace it, but he's not talking. So he's
I don't think his role has been defined as defined as it is right now. I think he's kind of laying low, but I think there's going to be a day and time when Jack Easterby is speaking on the reg for the Houston Texans, and I can't wait for the day because I think the guy's great. Look at that. Stay positive no matter what.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what he just said. Look at that.
Yeah, okay.
That's wisdom right there.
All right, sure. Have you interviewed him? How long has he been here? A year? Has anybody interviewed him? I think you can be.
If he's on the red carpet, you better believe I'm getting an interview.
Oh, we're going to try. Oh, for sure. But what I'm saying is you can believe that, but then as part of your daily, you know, 9 to 5, your job, you just don't do certain things. So that's what I'm saying. He's in that environment. He's been in that environment, that Patriots way. And I think Anthony Weaver's the exact opposite. I think he'll be good.
What do you think that Cal McNair thinks about all this. Do you think Cal McNair wants to talk? Do you think he's trying not to talk? What do you think my man Cal's doing?
Well, John said, and I specifically wanted to ask him that, of course they hear all of us and all of you.
There's a chance Cal talks tonight. There's a chance. I'd say there's about a 35% chance Cal McNair speaks tonight. Now,
probably good odds, actually. That's a good percentage.
There'll probably be some fluff about, you know, his dad receiving the Lifetime Achievement Award at the Houston Sports Awards.
Well, he's going to obviously talk there.
But you know Mark Berman's going to sneak one in there.
Yeah, I don't know how in-depth he's going to get on all this.
You think it's going to be vague?
Yeah, I think it'll be vague. Cal needs to come in studio, man, and we're not going to treat him. We're going to treat him with nothing but respect, but we're going to ask the questions that need to be asked.
Do you think he drives himself?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've seen him driving in a nice car at training camp.
Bob used to drive himself every day.
If you were as rich as Cal McNair, would you drive yourself or would you have a driver?
100%. I'd always like to.
You drive yourself?
Yeah. Yeah.
Figgy?
Nah, I'll have a driver.
Mm-hmm. I enjoy doing that, except for traffic. But I'd be able to live a lot closer.
Man. Be awesome, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Be a billionaire like Cal McNair.
Yeah, yeah. This just in. It's awesome to be a billionaire. Breaking news, Figgy.
Not everybody thinks that. Haven't you heard more money, more problems?
Yes. But if you're a billionaire, you don't have a whole lot of problems.
Some of them do.
Well, I mean, Robert Kraft, but that went away real quick. You know why? Because he's a billionaire.
We didn't hear about that spa thing very much,
no.
Did we?
You know why, right?
No.
Billionaire. That's why.
You just make the problems go away? Would you want to own a team?
No. If I was a billionaire, I'd buy front row tickets to the Rockets, the Astros.
Would you be on the Aggies sidelines?
The Texans.
What about a suite at the Aggies
Aggie
games?
Aggie sideline.
Would you get a suite?
Both. I'd get both. And I'd pay players. I'd cheat, make sure we get a lot of good players. I'd just be the super fan. And then I would buy the right to heckle if I didn't like something.
What do you mean buy the right to heckle? How do you do that?
Because you're a billionaire and you're sitting in the front row. I wouldn't be rude.
Imagine going to the mall with this a billion stack. Just being able to do whatever. Man, what a life. Cal McNair.
Shout out to billionaires.
Jeff Bannister will interview this week with the Houston Astros. This is your guy. This is the guy that the Astros need. Two-time division winner, manager of the year in just four seasons with the Rangers. Yes, it got away from him, but that don't kill you will only make you stronger. And I think Jeff Bannister is the guy for the job with the Houston Astros. I think his best managing is ahead of him. Yes, he's going to have to improve on his past flaws, but I believe he has the work ethic to do that. I believe he has the desire to do that. I believe he is what Houston needs in a manager during these times.
I think what Houston needs is a manager that's either him or a lot like him. I like Dusty Baker a lot. I really do. I'm not that huge a fan of Buck Showalter, but guys like that are just going to be quick fixes, you know, just to kind of tide you over for this year, this turbulent year that you're about to have. I think it's going to be the best choice would be someone like Bannister or a bench coach. Eduardo Perez used to work here. He's getting an interview. Someone like that.
Yeah, I don't know. They said Eduardo Perez.
I don't know anything about him, so I can't make a.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
I mean, but you know, that's usually what you say when you don't want someone to be the manager. He's a nice guy.
I don't know.
He's all right.
He may be a jerk. I don't know.
Let's ask the man that's going to make the decision, Jim Crane. What are you looking for in a manager? I'm going to ask the first question, then Mark Berman is going to potlick and ask the follow up. What are you looking for in a manager, Mr. Crane?
You know, I think we just got to find a leader that can handle some pressure and come in. You know, there's going to be a little bit of pressure with where this team has been in the last few months, and so somebody that can handle that also.
How important is it that your manager has been a manager before, or is that not the overriding thing for you right now?
It's not mandatory by any means. So certainly, you know, experience matters in all sorts of things, but it's not necessarily, you know, going to be the driving force.
I think a lot of times when we look at billionaires, sometimes you just think it's just luck. And I'm sure a lot of times it is. A lot of times it's luck.
Well, if you're born into it.
Yeah, a lot of times it's luck, but sometimes you can just see why a billionaire is a billionaire. Mm-hmm. And I think the way that Jim Crane has handled this adversity with the Astros, the way that he's been very strong, he's had a firm presence, and that you feel like you're in the right hands with him despite the fact that Jeff Luhnow and A.J. Hinch are gone. You can kind of just see why this guy was so successful And let's be honest, this isn't like your billionaire, like your Jerry Jones, or no disrespect, Tillman Fertitta or something like that, that probably like the attention and like the spotlight. Mm-hmm. I think in a perfect world, Jim Crane would like to just sit there and let Jeff Luhnow do his thing, let A.J. Hinch do his thing, and he'll answer questions whenever he needs to. I don't think he's one of those guys that likes the spotlight, but he's handled this about as good as you could possibly handle the situation that his ball club and his organization and his business have been going through.
He speaks when he feels like he needs to, you know? And yeah, you're right. I think he, in fact, I know. We've had these discussions with people around him and him. I've interviewed him once or twice. He likes to kind of be in the background and just, you know, work from behind. Stay involved, but work from behind and get things done.
What do you think attendance is going to be like for the Stros?
I think it's going to be off the charts.
I think
early.
It's going to go up.
I think it's going to be off the charts.
I think it
early.
Might go up.
I don't know what it's going to be come June and July, you know, just because who knows how they're going to be or if people are going to kind of, you know, I think they're going to support them early. You saw it at FanFest, people cheering them and stuff like that, which is, I mean, fully expected. I mean, that's your team, right? So
I think that this is going to actually increase interest. I think it's going to increase attendance. I actually think that this is going to have a good impact on the Houston Astros, their attendance, their support, because, man, let's be honest. A lot of times when you create these, a lot of times people, teams, organizations, coaches, they create the narrative of us against the world.
Or like they feed created, off of it.
And a lot of times it's made up. Like when the Patriots go up there the last 20 years and they say no one gave us a chance, mm-hmm. everyone was against us.
It's made up.
That's a lie.
It's not made up in this case. Everyone exactly. is against them.
Exactly. So I think that fans can actually rally around this because it's a fact. Mm-hmm. People are against the Houston Astros right now. Like everybody hates them.
Yeah.
Everybody. They're the most hated team in baseball. Yeah. They are the face of cheating in baseball. They Fair are. Or not. That's the reality of the situation outside of here is that people hate Houston. And when you can actually have an authentic us against the world thing instead of this straw man stuff, I think it will rally the city together, and I think Houston will rally around this Astros team like they never have.
There is a pretty good backlash now as comments and audio from their Fan Fest day is going around the league. A lot of players are just saying that the Astros handled it the wrong. They never said they're sorry.
They're saying that the Astros lost their swag.
Lost their swag. They had their chests all puffed out, you know, for these years, these last few years, and now they're not even acknowledging what happened. Their players despise the Astros. Players in the league, who usually have each other's back, despise the
and
are
they
public
should.
About it. And are public
and
about
we've
it.
Said
yeah.
that like they, yeah. they should like the Trevor Bowers, the Clevengers and stuff. Like mm-hmm. I get that a lot of you know that they've been
but it's more than that.
For a
it's
while,
players
but,
across the league.
But you can understand that. Mm-hmm. And I mean I think you got to take a step back if you're an Astros fan and say. What would I be saying if, let's say, this exactly. were the Rangers or something like that? Like, I think it's valid. Like, from their perspective, I can understand why they feel that way, and I can understand why Astros fans feel that, you know, that everyone was doing it, and they're it's that they feel like they're being targeted. I can understand everyone's perspective, but I think the bottom line is the reality, John, is that the Astros are the enemy to everyone outside of baseball, and I think Houston. When they need to rally together, I think Houston rallies together better than most cities.
You want to talk about the most subtle, I hope they did it on purpose because it's brilliant if they did, the most subtle trolling job in the history of baseball.
Okay.
In Cooperstown, in the Major League Baseball, in the Baseball Hall of Fame, there are locker displays of every team. The Astros locker display has their World Series jerseys, a Verlander, the hats, and all that. And right next to it is a trash can.
Come on, that's a coincidence. You're reaching. You're reaching.
Are you sure it's a coincidence?
You're reaching.
Are you sure it's a coincidence?
You're reaching.
The Houston Astros locker room display in Cooperstown has a trash can sitting next to
it. It's on the corner,
it.
Man.
Yes. They had to put somebody on the corner, right?
You're reaching.
Am I?
Maybe. Maybe.
Everybody's coming at him.
Little college football news, De'Aaron King. You knew he was going in the transfer portal earlier this year. Let's be honest. We knew that.
Hey, man, somebody in this room said he was going to end up at Miami a week ago.
You did. And yeah. Guess where he ended up?
Miami.
He's going to the U. De'Aaron King, mm-hmm. The former U of H QB, will be Manny Diaz's quarterback for the Miami Hurricanes next year.
I mean, that's fine.
What do you mean that's
it's
fine?
It's not like he's not going to be Jalen Hurts, you know. Yeah, exactly.
I think it's kind of weird that now all of a sudden,
mm-hmm.
every single transfer quarterback is Kyler Murray or Jalen Hurts or something.
And it's kind of dumb. I get
it's kind of weird.
Tip of the cap, but it's kind of dumb that the Senior Bowl is going to give Jalen
Hurts a
helmet that half of it,
Alabama, yeah. half OU.
You're going to have to do that every year.
That doesn't make sense. He chose OU, so it should be OU. Period.
He went to Alabama, though, originally. He chose Alabama.
Yeah,
originally.
But he left.
But just pick one, man.
No, just pick the one where mm-hmm. you ended up. Like, I don't get it. I think Jalen Hurts is probably going to be a running back in the NFL. And, I mean, it's not like – I mean, he did it at Alabama the year before. So, it's I think he's going to be like a gadget guy. Maybe not the same style, but maybe like a Taysom Hill guy that can be an emergency quarterback.
Yeah.
I think that's Jalen Hurts' best route to the NFL.
Do what Mariota has been doing lately with the Titans.
Yeah. You know? I mean, and I think that's a good way to stay in the league. And it's not like he hasn't done it. Like, they have tape of him playing running back at Alabama. So, you know, it wouldn't be the worst idea for Jalen Hurts to consider that. Rockets Thunder yesterday, early start, 4 p.m. because of MLK Day. Rockets blew a 17-point lead. They led 100-85 late in the game, and they lose 112-107. That is four straight losses for the Houston Rockets, and I'll be damned, Chris Paul might not be washed up. 27 points in the first half. He ends up with 28, but the damage was done. He's already beaten the Rockets twice this year. Russell Westbrook, 32 points on 16 of 24 shooting. James Harden, 29 points on 29 shots, stayed after and took some extra shots after the game. Rockets in a very, very bad place. We talk about all the bad stuff going on in Houston. Rockets not looking too good right now. We knew that Mike D'Antoni was a lame duck coach.
Yeah.
You got to think his days could be numbered. I don't know if they would fire him in season, but this is not looking good for the Houston Rockets.
What exactly did you expect? You know, you don't give D'Antoni the best coach you've had since Rudy T. I get Jeff Van Gundy was in there, but I think the best, to be fair, would be D'Antoni since Rudy T. You don't give him the contract extension. There's all this dissension that we went over in the offseason, all the Daryl Morey stuff that affected kind of things in the structure of the organization. You fire all of D'Antoni's assistant coaches without his knowledge. You bring in some guys that he didn't necessarily sign off on. You bring in Russell Westbrook thinking it's going to be a magic pill. What did you expect? It's not going to jibe right away. They might get somewhere good. I mean, they might get up, and that's why I asked McClain, you know, on the leg hike, I said they're going to be a number six seed. They might be a number two seed for all we know, or three anyway. But what did you expect it to be at the start? The problem is, now that everybody knows D'Antoni's out after this year, more than likely the new assistant coaches, the Westbrook thing only figures to fester, is kind of gathering yourself and regrouping. That's going
to
be hard.
I think Brandon Scott brought this up, our web guy. Shout out to B. Scott for all the good stuff he does. What if Chris Paul just isn't washed up and you ended up getting rid of a guy because of a personality conflict with James Harden? Fill in the blank.
Mm-hmm.
If Chris Paul is not washed up, then blank.
If Chris Paul is not washed up, then I think you know what's going to happen with the Westbrook experiment. If Chris Paul, he has his issues personality-wise. All NBA players do, especially when you become a multimillionaire like that. But Chris Paul.
But you said you didn't have problems when you were a millionaire or a billionaire.
I said billionaire. It's a big difference.
So millionaires have problems, billionaires don't?
It's true.
All right.
You seen Delonte West?
I mean, you would know. Do you got any problems?
You seen Delonte West?
Do you got any problems?
get out of here with that stuff. Yeah, I think you know the answer to the Westbrook question. It isn't going to work out.
Oh, well.
It couldn't with Chris Paul, and he's playing like that.
I think they'll be all right. I think they'll be interesting.
I think they could be.
It's just a rough time for the mm-hmm. Houston Rockets right now. They'll get back at it a little bit later this week. The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. Sports Radio 610. What was each Texan doing on Sunday as they watched the Kansas City Chiefs take on the Tennessee Titans? We're going to go player for player and tell you what each player was doing next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.